All right, lads, what's the crack? Welcome to the very first episode of the Tops Kick podcast. Today I'm joined by a very special guest, JJ3344, otherwise known as Jay to myself. How are you, man?
Very well, mate. Very well. Very pleased to be here, fella. Thank you.
Brilliant. It's been an absolute journey to even get here. Funny story, myself and Jay recorded this very same podcast last night, very same questions, possibly deja vu sort of stuff here for myself and himself. 66 minutes last night, went in to try edit it, couldn't find it. I've emailed the company, I've tweeted them. They're trying to help, but I'm taking that it's gone. So we're also on our third try tonight, so let's hope, fingers crossed. So what we're going to do is we're going to break it down into segments. Possibly every 15 minutes we'll go for a short ad break just to make sure they are safe and just given the difficulties we are having. And we'll go from there and just hopefully we can get through smooth sailing.
Yep, sounds good to me, mate. Let's get cracking.
Perfect. Obviously, the first question, not in everybody's mind, but in my mind, is why Tops Kick? What drew you to the, you know, you have the physical cards. What drew you to the actual digital app?
I think a lot of people know. Some people might not know. I'm one of the older collectors, probably on the game. So obviously you've got lots of T-Bone, etc. Sorry to call you out T-Bone as an old collector, but you know, someone of the similar age of me. You know, I'm 34. It kind of took me back to my youth and collecting. You know, getting the buzz and collecting the stickers, sticking them in the albums, etc. So, funny story. In a meeting, as you are, one of my work colleagues is sat there playing this app on his phone, and I glance over and he kind of shows me the Henri Star player card, which is been my avi on Twitter, and it's been my avi in the game for a long time.
Yeah,
and I just thought, wow, you know, what really, really nice card. He showed me some more. I decided to download that app in the meeting. Apologies, bosses. And we, you know, he traded me some cards, and that's how I got started.
Pretty decent. And like you mentioned, the Panini album there to start. Are you ever drawn back to collect the physical cards, or do you think like having it in a handheld in your pocket, on the go at all times, you prefer that kind of method, is it? Or
I've probably been a bit lapsed this season because they seem to have gone a little bit crazy with it, but the Match Attack cards, so yeah. I've got 3 or 4 seasons I think full of those.
Oh, nice.
Which includes kind of all the limited edition ones as well, so I tend to, if I start to collect something, then I tend to want everything I can get, yeah, with it. So that's why this year it's kind of been kind of heavily invested in Tops Kick. Do I really want to do Match Attacks as well? So I haven't done the full binder this year so far.
Nice.
But I would absolutely love it as a feature. If, you know, they did it once with some DFL cards. If they actually released the physical versions of these of your collection, that would be absolutely amazing. So Tops, yeah, Kick, great idea. I don't know whether it's cost effective, but send me my collection, please.
Relic cards would be unbelievable.
Oh yeah, that would make those cards, definitely.
When did you like? When? What year did you find the app, or what year did you just join? Or
so it was right at the start of the kind of second season. So I'd completely missed the first season,
right.
And I kind of joined, I think probably just before the Premier League kicked off. So I started off collecting like MLS cards.
Yeah.
Which is obviously the Henri Star player and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I started right at the very beginning, kind of 14, 15.
Perfect. And like, you mentioned chasing. Did you start, like, did you just jump in and go, right, what's this chasing? I'm just going to do that from week one? Or
didn't even know about the chase week one. Right. Probably didn't even really know about the chase for quite a while. I literally thought it was a card collecting app. I didn't do any research on it. Downloaded it in a meeting. I used it just literally to kind of collect sets and get the cards that I wanted from the previous year. So yeah, for the first probably 9 months on there, didn't change a single game.
I think that's what sets it apart from the like, I like having something in my head. I like having, spending my money and saying, this is what I've bought, and showing everyone what I've bought.
Yeah.
Whereas like sometimes with Tops, people like my family and that, they don't get it. Like, why are you spending all this money on it when it's on your phone? You know, it's not a physical card. But it's the chasing side of it that actually intrigues me. I just love the grind and like giving up my whole Saturday and Sunday and Monday and sometimes Friday, just not talking to anybody. But yeah, like, it's the chasing that kind of catches me, and I think it's the same with yourself, is it really?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, originally it was more the collection side of it that kind of pulled me in.
Yeah.
You know, my first few chases were horrific. I didn't. The only thing I actually chased, was, apart from kind of a bit of flow, was goals.
Yeah.
But now that I've got into kind of chasing and, you know, chase every week now, etc., it's that part of it I do enjoy. There's frustrations with it, and I'll probably comment that a little bit later on. But yeah, the banter, the lads, the kind of you know, as you, to coin your phrase, the crack of it on a Saturday and a Sunday, you know, that kind of makes it for me, and then it makes the collecting side for me even better.
Yeah, when you say the lads and the banter and stuff, like I probably came around the same time as yourself. I think I would have been that MLS season where I kind of jumped in, hadn't a notion what was going on. I was sending ridiculous trades. It was kind of like I was the annoying kid who was trying to get a war cards for base cards, or I pulled the tops 11. And I think, right, this is, I made now. I'm selling this for 20 goal game changers now because it's a caca tops 11. Like, and you know,
you're not on your own though, mate. I still get them cards, right?
But you know, like I was one of those, and it's kind of when you think of the community back then, you had some great characters there. It did dip a lot, but I can see it coming back. The character that. People that I thought might return, they've sold up, in fairness to them. But there's always that new breed of people coming through. Like, and I can see it is coming back. If you reference, take a look at another shout out to T-Bone, his stream, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, with all the giveaways. Like the banter and cracker there, like that was unbelievable. I haven't experienced something like that in around a tops, like tops the app itself. It must be about a year, year and a half, I'd say. Like when that amount of people came collectively together and said, right, we're going to make something work here.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's not so prominent inside the app anymore. So like back in the day, back probably even a little bit before my time, but also kind of towards the beginning of mine, you go on the articles, everyone was having a bit of banter. You know, you couldn't go. If you went on the fan feed and you posted something, you wouldn't find it a minute later. You know, whereas... obviously now you can kind of scroll down 12, 15 minutes and probably the rest, but I do see it in other forums now and coming back into the app, in fairness. So like Twitter, on Twitch and T-Bone stream, you know, that was a great laugh last week and the week before. I do see it coming back, and it does feel like it's coming back. So if they can harness that, you know, we all love collecting cards. At the end of the day, it's football. It's collecting cards, you know, it's made for a kind of, a man and women that love football as well. So it's a quality concept. Just needs to work all the time, and then you'll be onto a winner.
And just while we're on but diverting back to the chasing side of it, what was your first initial moment when you went, right, okay, I think I have this, like the first game changer when you thought you cracked the code?
So I can't remember what my first white game changer was. It was an MLS one. Yeah. I genuinely can't remember because when I start collecting, if I start chasing, I want to be one of the better ones. I want to be one of the guys in the top. That sounds a little bit big headed, but if I do something, I want to do it well. And if I can't do it well, I kind of lose interest.
Right.
So for me, I suppose the first card I really remember getting, and I thought, wow, this is brilliant, was Perez Garcia Silver GC.
Oh yeah, I recall that. Yeah.
Earlier design, the kind of a kind of silver edging to the card. Yeah. I thought it was brilliant. People very quickly told me it wasn't worth a lot because he wasn't a sought after player. But for me, that's when I thought, you know what, I could enjoy chasing. I could see myself doing this.
When did you make the jump then from silver to gold game changer? Was it straight away? Like, did you kind of keep building and keep building, or was it a long progression? Like,
no, it was a long progression. So I won that. I won a few silver GCs from there. You know, I kind of flitted between top 100 and top 50 for quite a while.
Right.
And then I took a bit of a break from Kick, which I think we're going to come on to in a little bit. And then it was only when I returned, so like last season, that I actually earned my first one, which was, you know, I was very, very fortunate to earn an Özil GC as my gold GC as my first one.
Upside down M1, is it? Where he's
upside down hand one. I swore I'd never sell it, but then I sold it to an Arsenal collector to help him get his collection. So still looking for that one if anyone's trading it.
Another thing to wordy note about Jay is if you collect a team, he has a soft spot for people who collect teams. So anyone who's collecting a team and missing a specific card that he has, send him a trade with a soppy message. I'm sure he'll let it go. He's known for that.
It will probably work, you know, in all fairness. There's certain cards I don't sell. So if it's a signature card, I'm very unlikely to kind of want to sell that because I do like the signature cards. And if it's obviously a card, you know, people start sending me Henry Pavlaksik and saying it's their favourite player. You've got absolutely no chance. But if I can help you out and it doesn't take a single away or it doesn't take something I really collect away, then yeah, I'll help you out. Not a problem.
And talking about cards you wouldn't sell, if there was one card that, say, in the morning you had to sell up shop, that was it, you were done at the app, one card you would leave die on the account, what would it be?
It's probably a bit too far. So I would never sell an Aston Villa card. So you got absolutely no chance of Aston Villa cards. The only ones I have sold are people that are genuine collectors. So kind of Omen, people like that who collect Villa players.
Yeah.
You know, I'll help those guys out, although he hasn't managed to prize a Benteke Gold GC from me just yet. So I wouldn't sell a Villa card. They would literally stay there.
Right.
But outside of that, for kind of pure design and just my own personal value of the card, the kind of one I just mentioned, Henri Parallaxig, it would never leave my account, ever.
Perfect. And just on the your favourite card on your account, is there any card that you're not that you're seeking right now, but is there any card you kind of, you know, is out there, but you just know it's kind of out of your reach, but is that kind of dream card, like a one-on-one or a diamond or anything like those?
Yeah, look, any card I don't own is a card I'm kind of after, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the likes of like Ray Chapman, he's got like 100 collection score.
That's crazy.
That would be the dream.
Yeah. You
know, fair play to that guy. To have that kind of a collection rating is amazing.
Yeah.
But if I was going to say like one card in particular that I, you know, very similar to the reaction I had to Henri Star Player, and the kind of parallaxing, it would be the one of one Aguero pop card.
Oh, really? Big fan of that.
It's a beautiful card. You know, when it came out, I think I actually changed my avi for about a week until the guy who owned the card said, look, do you mind not? you know, I think about 20 other people in the app did at the time as well. But that card, beautiful. You know, never going to own it. Ain't got a hope in hell's chance of owning it, but if I could pick any card off the game that I haven't got, that'd be the one I'd go for.
Yeah, it's a very nice card. I think my first ever set, I think I said it to you before, my first ever set to complete as a whole collecting myself without like cross-trade or anything, I actually opened packs with my coins and stuff. It was my first purchase of coins as well back in the day, was the MLS pop with Giovinco as the award.
Yeah, so lovely card.
That was my first time I purchased in-game currency and haven't stopped since, apparently. But so the wife tells me so, but look.
I'm in that boat, mate. Yeah. You'll be all right. She'll be all right on there.
Perfect. Look, what we might do is we're going to take a quick little break just to ensure that this does save, and then we can move forward. And I have a couple more questions to ask you. We have a couple of things to look forward to for the weekend coming. Just some tips and hints, some players to try pick up. So we'll take a quick little break. I'll be back to you in a moment there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
See you in a minute.
All right, lads, and welcome back to part two of the Tops Cake podcast. Did you get your cup of tea, Jay?
I did, mate. Thank you very much for that.
Perfect. How many sugars?
No sugars in tea, actually, mate. No sugars in tea for me.
Mucky water.
Just mucky water.
As I like to call it. Perfect. This is a serious part of the podcast now. Did you ever leave the app? I think you did you?
I did. So towards the end of the kind of 15-16 season, I'd kind of encountered a few issues with chasing. Not as serious as kind of now, and I wasn't as a serious chaser as I am now in terms of the output of GCs that I was getting. a close friend of mine who helped me when I very first started. His account got banned.
Right.
It was his own fault. You know, he did some things he shouldn't have done. He sold some stuff on the bay. But, you know, a lot of people do, right?
Yes.
But he was advertising it in the app, and that's against the terms and conditions. So, top tip, if you're selling stuff, don't advertise it in the app. You know, but at the time, I didn't have, like, a Twitter group. I didn't have a kind of chase group. I spoke to a few people in the app. So, for me to kind of lose someone that I spoke to a lot in terms of, you know, used to help me complete sets. You know, I used to help him complete sets. We really kind of did a lot of trades between the two of us. You know, if there was a trade rating for the amount of trade you've done, not just unique people, you know, we'd probably be well into the tens of thousands. You know, we'd be closing in on CCF, CCFCs,
yeah,
incredible numbers. And, you know, that, you know, was one of the big reasons. I think the other reason for me was, you know, and it was great for the app at the time, but, you know, when the likes of Bateson and Cam Gross, no disrespect to Bateson and Nepenthes,
yeah,
you know, they brought a lot of people across, you know, to be fair to kind of Bateson, and he really went for it. He, you know, won a lot of gold GCs. He's got a Bentec he needs to sell me, but he won't. And for me, they brought a load of people over that value cards as if they're FIFA Ultimate Team cards. And that then made completing sets almost impossible. So I just pretty much decided at that point that I was going to take a break. I'm really, really pleased that I did. And I'm really, really pleased that I didn't give my collection away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I'd have done that and come back the way that I did, I'd have been pretty upset with myself that I decided to do that. But, you know, took a break.
Anything in particular that brought you back? Or
I had no intention of coming back, to be honest with you. I'd almost been a year, I think it was. I think I left in the February of the 15-16 season and kind of came back in just before February, kind of 16-17. So basically, I was looking for my Sky Go login. So thanks, Sky Tops. I was looking for my Sky Go login in my emails. I saw an email from Topps Kick, showed some of the kind of recent releases of cards they'd released. That kind of hooked me in, read a bit further, and it said, log in now to collect these and for your welcome back bonus.
Oh.
Logged in. Very nice bonus. I opened some packs. Rest is history.
Yeah.
To be honest, I've not been off it since.
It's that kind of app where, especially with the chase, if you don't get the chase, like if you don't get the goalkeeper glitches, if you don't get the times freezing and then you have to write down the points and, you know, you're waiting on saves, goals, as we've spoken many times, and it's always a gripe that both of us have where you're kind of, like it's that love-hate relationship, I think. It's like I think this season alone I've quit 5 times where I've just packed it in after a chase. I've just, yeah, that's it, I have enough, I'm not doing it anymore. And then next week then our set drops and you're like, yeah, sorry, I'll open up a couple of diamonds for that, and next thing you know you're back in. You know, it's
it's very much the case with me. Look, I mean, I've got an affinity for collecting stuff, so
yeah.
But for me to leave at that point, it was quite a serious decision. You know, I didn't invest anywhere near the level that I invest now at that time. You know, I did every now and again, but it was never anything consistent. And for me even at that time, it was quite a, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do it. You know, I switched my spend to Ultimate Team, played FIFA for a year and enjoyed that. But, you know, for me now, the draw of the cards is there.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit fed up of the contest cards, that, you know, but, you know, the set designs this year far and away make up for the fact that there's so many contest cards. Although 3 today, really?
It leads me on to my next question really for you. What is your favourite design of this season?
Favourite design of this season? I would have to say the snow release. So the first
animation
DL snow release. Really wowed me, actually. I'd seen something similar on another app, not to be named. But when that landed, you know, I got 11 of each of those pretty quickly.
We actually got it first. DFL got it first, I believe.
You did. And I was really jealous.
Yeah.
And I kind of said to myself this season, you know, I'm not going to buy any kind of DFL sets. I might trade for them when the season's over, but while the season's live, I'm not going to get any.
Yeah.
I nearly did. And then I saw an email saying that the EPL ones are coming. So I waited for that.
Right. And you mentioned the contest there is, like, I get what you're saying. I think what they should have done, or they should have maybe bring in, now I know T-Bone's video has clicked a lot of pieces together for them, and they've brought back the Derby game changers. And this weekend, like, David De Gea and Salah, two pitchers, unbelievable. Yeah. Like, but, like, I think the contest should have just been kept separately for those Derby game changers. Like, as I said, there's too many. You have your tops clash, you have your contest. It's a bit much now at this stage.
Yeah, for me, it's... Look, you don't have to get them, but if, you know, they always drop a fair amount of baseless in there. I mean,
those
ones that have dropped, there's probably about six or seven baseless cards in there, all boosted baseless, that, you know, if you're chasing seriously, you're going to want. For me, I think they just missed the trick with Topps Glass. I absolutely love them, so Topps, please don't take those away. They're probably one of the better value for money ones. But they missed the trick there. Everybody loved the Topps 11 cards. I don't think I found anybody that doesn't like Topps 11 cards, the old ones. If they'd have done something similar to that, because it's exactly the same concept, you know, it's the 11 best player in the week before.
I think it's the price of them, though. The price is substantially a lot higher than the Topps 11.
They are a lot higher than Topps 11, but when you look at the proportion of...
The boosts and stuff, I suppose.
Because the Topps 11 used to be a 1.5.
Yeah, that's right.
When you look at Topps Class versus Contest, the boost is the same as a Contest, but it's half the price.
Yeah.
You know, so Topps, please don't mess with that. I'm not highlighting it for you to mess with that. So for me, I do like the Contest. I do like the Derby... Love the Derby GCs.
Yeah,
you know, that is one of the single best editions they've made this year, or re-editions they've made. So thanks for that, T-Bone. But for me, I think they could have had a different design on the Contest to Topps Class, and then they could have also done something with the colours, because you look through your collection,
it's bronze and grey, the
insert section, you know, it's almost spot the difference as you go through.
I wouldn't have mind if, say, Bournemouth was black and red, and United were red and white. You know, just keep a club colour or something like that.
That would have helped massively. You know, they had an opportunity to potentially facelift it halfway through the season.
Yeah.
They could have done a lot of things with them. You know, I've got no major issue with them, but it's just as you scroll through your collection, if you do it year by year and you have a look, you've got so much variety, so many different designs in previous seasons. This season, inserts is a wash of the same card.
Yeah. And speaking of, you mentioned they had the chance midway through the year to kind of refresh it. We move on to the tier section. I know you're a big fan of the tier section, but do you think they missed the boat as well on maybe updating that at Christmas time or December, January time?
Yeah, I'm really not sure what happened there. I meant to ask Charry this question a couple of times, because, well, obviously when it was first released, it was you need to complete the tiers by December. I think it was December the 31st or something,
right,
around that sort of time. And I know the awards paid out from there. Then it got extended to something of March. And I think we're waiting to see what happens with that. But it looks like they've pushed tier cards, or what were tier cards, certainly the similar releases, into the prize wheel. So I'm not quite sure what they're doing with that, but for me, I think I love the tier system, because it stops or limits the ability for people to have dupe accounts, which I think is a good thing. What it has done is it's taken away some of the cross trading elements, though, so there are some negatives with it from that perspective, because of, obviously, now you have to be tier 8 to access coin packs. Not many people got to tier 8, tier 9, tier 10. So, you know, myself, I only got to tier 8. So, you know, if it goes up to tier 9, I'm not going to be able to open coin packs, which will be a bit frustrating.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could have made the rewards for tier levels a little bit more different, a little bit more intuitive. So what I would have been thinking would, you know, I know you've got the golden goal coin bonus, which is great.
Yeah.
And I love golden goal. I love all the features this year. But they could have done something like, you know, you get to tier four, you get to pick six cards to put into the card exchange to get the next, you know, maybe a 2.5 avocado.
Yeah.
You know, you get to tier eight, you get to pick another six cards, you know, and that could have been unique to the individual, or it could have been, you know, you get to choose six from this set of 18.
Yeah.
And the little things like that, that could have been done, you know, that might be done next year, might not be done next year, which I think would have been really nice. But yeah, fan of the tier system.
I suppose on a plus system, like we're looking at it, like not to be blown, like we're like, I'd be top 20 DFL, you're top 20 EPL. The lower base and the tier system doesn't really work for us unless it's a baseless, and or else we don't have 11. But at this time of the season, we're going to have 11 of most base players.
Yeah,
definitely. But when you're a new player and you're opening up, I remember it was I tried to actually get my brother into it, and he opened it up, and his first card he packed, he's a United fan, so his first card was that Lukaku transfer card out of that tier system.
Yeah,
and instantly he was like, "Whoa, this is unbelievable! Like, what? Yeah. How, give me more!" And then like there was Morata, and you know, it's nice to kind of, as a new player, especially when you have your golden goal kind of entangled with that, where you're earning your kind as well. You know, you don't necessarily have to wait for your 10k bonus each day. You know, it's a nice little incentive for new players to keep coming back each day to play the golden goal to open up these. Because in fairness, 2k at a 1 in 5, it's not bad odds for a new player.
It's not at all, and you know, like you say, there's two types of people, or there's three types of people that play the app. There's collectors, there's chasers, and then there's a bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, from a collector's perspective, to be able to go through the tiers, get the award cards, you know what you've got to do to get them. And it's not a limited time. You know, it's a limited time thing to a certain degree, but it's not a, you know, you've got 3 days to do it. And if you're on holiday, you're going to miss this. Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a long... I really did think the concept was nice. And yeah, for new players especially, it's a great feeling when you pack your first insert. It's brilliant.
Just moving on, you did mention it last night, but I think it's probably gone out of your head there now because we've skipped past the conversation. You mentioned the prize wheel. I mentioned the prize wheel last night, but we were talking about it, and you mentioned cross-trading there a couple of minutes ago. You did say cross-trading has come back as well, and I've noticed because of the prize wheel, where players have the access now.
Absolutely, you know, there's some, especially for chasers. I mean, look, EPL chasers, brilliant.
Yeah.
As you kind of mentioned yourself, DFL, not so great. I do envisage that they'll probably do a few months of EPL, a few months of DFL, a few months of MLS.
I don't think
probably
so.
In a different order.
No, I don't think they're going to touch DFL. What I would love to see, and we'll get back to the question I was going to ask you, I would love to see, I mentioned it last night to yourself, where it's similar to Golden Goal. You click your prize wheel notification or icon, you're in, and you can select between DFL and EPL. Because you can be sure when the European League's finished, they're going to add in the MLS. So it can't be that hard, really, when you break it down. Like,
yeah, I do absolutely get that, because at the moment, you know, I would imagine what DFL guys do is play Golden Goal, to get the coins to open packs, and then obviously EPL chasers. Sorry, you know, I do spam that prize wheel quite a bit. So every time I get to 50 tickets, I'm straight on there and I'll do it. And for me, for cross trading purposes, that's brilliant, because a lot of the cards on there are boosted. You know, some of them are baseless, some of them are new transfers.
Yeah.
So for me, it's quite easy for me to pick up new cards now, because I can go on to Walking Dead, I can go on to Star Wars, I can go on to Slam, and I can pack something, or I can get something off their prize wheel that's a similar value. We're not kind of pushing backwards and forwards on what I perceive a card to be worth, what they perceive a card to be worth.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're both free cards for us. It makes it so much easier.
Perfect.
So I actually really like it. Really like the feature.
Yeah. What we'll do is we'll finish with one last question of this part, and then we'll take another short break and we'll come back then.
Yeah.
I asked you your favourite design of this particular season. Is there any design from any past season that you'd like this to be implemented into this season, or are you happy enough with what you've seen?
I really like, obviously, the designs this year. I think we talked about the snow set. We talked about, obviously, the fact that they're releasing a lot of sets in in conjunction with obviously the contest and stuff. And, you know, I've got to say, well done to Brandon and the team. Phenomenal releases this year. But if I was going to go back through the seasons, my probably all-time favourite set would be the very first season, so 13-14 Golden Moments and Lost Series. Absolutely love those cards. You know, I've started trying to collect them a little bit low-key. Because obviously, as soon as I start collecting something, prices seem to go up.
Yeah.
So I've done myself a disservice there. I should have said something really dodgy.
We'll cut it out.
It's fine. But, you know, other sets I'd probably give a special mention to would be the Match Winners series from 14-15, the dark cards with the kind of pink writing. Love those.
Yeah, very nice, yeah. And action shots as well, wasn't it?
Sorry?
I believe there were action shots as well, like where they're
actually, I mean, the Alexis Sanchez ones are a really, really nice card. Charlie Austin was a really nice card as well. The other set I'd probably pull out from that season, that for me, I think they got the Super Striker set bang on design wise.
Yeah, another nice one, yeah.
So, definitely.
Yeah, perfect. Look, what we'll do is we'll take another short break. Just save this and ensure we're not going to have to do it all again tomorrow night.
Sounds good to me.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, lads, welcome back to part three of this podcast. Still with my guest Jay here. You all right, man?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, really enjoyed it so far.
Brilliant. Likewise, it's very good crack, as we say here. Isn't kind of moving on now to another part of it, still more questions for yourself. I have an absolute list of stuff here for you. I could keep going all night, but look, we might cut it a bit short. What the next one thing I want to know is, you hear on the app the whole time, Steeler boss, is this a Steeler boss? I'm getting tweets, DMs, Steeler boss, can you help me with this trade? What is the biggest steal you've ever seen or received or missed out on?
So my kind of biggest, my personal biggest steal and biggest steal missed was on the same, was an offer on the same two cards. So back in the season where Matt Besler variant Sig got released.
Right.
Absolute flow monster that he was. I got some ridiculous trades. So I was very fortunate. So again, probably in another work meeting, I packed a couple of the variant Sigs. I packed a couple of blues and I packed a couple of variants. Held on to the blues, but you know, I kind of very bravely in the feed just said, you know, we'll take offers on the variant Sigs. And I got an offer, which I regret to this day I didn't take at the time, was two of the kind of 13-14 mints. And you know, there's a few people out there that will know how hard these cards were to pack, and how much, you know, it cost to pack those cards. And it was John Joe Shelby, so like 20 count, and I think the other one was Sammy and Nasri.
Were the odds 1 in 250? Those ones,
it was something stupid like that. I think T-Bone will be able to, I think he was mad on the mints. I think he got one of the 10 Drogba awards from that season. So he'll know better than I did. But yeah, I had a bit of backwards and forwards. I think we sent each other about 30 messages, me and the lad that made the offer. And I think my last message to him was, I know I'm going to regret this, but I'm going to say no for now. And I obviously ended the trade. And, you know, a couple of days later, I sat there and I was like, do you know what? I really, really wish I'd have took that trade.
Just send it back to him. Just,
He'd bought some different ones, so I couldn't send it back to him. I think he ended up getting three for the 2 mints plus a bit. So whoever got that deal, fair play to you. But, you know, I kind of advertised them again. They were still in demand. And I actually got Bradley Wright Phillips Club GC.
All right, for them.
So, you know, missed out on the mints, which was a sad story in itself. But actually, Bradley Wright Phillips Club GC is not a bad second. Stupidly, I sold that quite quickly, actually too quickly. So, you know, I didn't really understand the true value of that card at the time.
Yeah.
And I sold it a bit too quickly, which is a shame because it's pretty much extinct now. You can't get hold of it.
And you didn't get it back, or it's still gone, is it?
No, it's still gone. It's one, you know, I wouldn't say I made it a priority to try and get it. My biggest trading priority has been, and will be till I completely know I can't is get the last kind of four Villa cars that I need.
Yeah.
I've managed to been very fortunate to get a couple of, well, I think I've got three Club GCs now. But yeah, if I could find a Bradley Wright Phillips one, it's been sold reasonably, I'd definitely, you know, trade for that. Definitely. Yeah.
Just we spoke just in prior to there in relation to the prize wheel and goal and some of the new features. Is there anything that just boils your blood completely where you kind of like, it's at that stage where you just put the phone down and come back a half an hour later? Like any app features, anything at all?
I mean, chasing, but you can't really put the app.
Yeah, can't put the phone down. Yeah,
so you can't really do that. The only time you put it down is to pick up the pen and paper to write down the list of goals.
Yeah,
but I think it's not so much features in the app. You know, there's a little bit of frustration around, you know, crashing on trades, and you know, don't ever accept a trade while you're chasing. Unless it's half time or something like that, don't do it.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the people that, you know, and I'm going to give a little bit of contradicting advice in a minute. That's going to make me sound a bit of a hypocrite, but the guys that go 2-for-1 on every single set. Yeah. So if you need a card from me, you've got to give me 2, you know, because your one card is worth 2 of my cards every day of the week, right?
Yeah.
So that winds me up. So people that actively brashly go out, you know, if you get sent a trade, we all love a good steal. No, you know, I don't know many people that turn down steals. If it's outrageous steals, I do turn them down now, or I do double check and say, look, are you sure you want to give this much? You don't need to, you know, quite often I'll send a trade back to someone and I've taken something out. You know, it's very rare that massive overpay now.
Yeah.
For a card, unless it's something I genuinely don't want to sell, and I've told them a few times I don't want to sell it. So for me, that's one of the biggest things outside of the chasing issues that, you know, have been well documented and well discussed on other forums and on Twitter, etc. But for me, it's the greed it generates. There's no need for it. If we all help each other out a little bit, you know, chasers, 1 in 11 cards, I get it. I'm one of those now. I never used to get it. You know, just a little bit more respect for each other on the app would be what I'd ask for.
I think you mentioned it, like when you're looking for a card and you're unsure and you're sending like an MLS essential for a goal game changer and you're just counter. That boils my blood.
Oh, that winds me up. So you always, whenever I log in a morning, or, you know, if I've been at work and I come back and I log in when I get back, I've always got a trade from a low trade account. So, you know, single figure trade and account, it's always like a low base, like a white base or an MLS essential and it's always for the lowest count card I've got that's not unlocked. And it's like counter or, you know, or please bro, my sister loves Ronaldo's left foot. You know, my auntie's uncle's sister's brother is so-and-so's cleaner. Well, you know, get a signed card off him yourself then. So I get a load of those. And don't get me wrong, look, we're all new. And, you know, I sent out some shockers. When I first started, I got Gary Taylor Fletcher gold in a pack and I thought I'd won the game. And I'm sending it for cards and I'm saying, you got 7 of them. Why do you need 7? And I didn't get it. So I've got a bit of patience to a point. But, yeah, things like that do infuriate me a little bit.
Another thing is similar on the lines where you're trying to get something off someone and, you know, you're negotiating for a while, next thing you get it back, what would you pay for it?
Yeah.
Like straight away, in my head, I'm alarm bells. You want me to overpay for this. You want me to say, I'm going to give you X, so you can say no. Like, if someone asks me, what do I want for a card? Like, it's my card, so I'm going to make up its value. So I'm going to say, right, I want this. And then if he says no, then that's my value of a card. Everybody values cards different. Like, so,
yeah, and that's the great thing about the app. And that's, I've always said, you know, the value of the card is only important to two people, the person that's selling it and the person that's buying it.
Yeah.
You know, we get a lot of steal or busts and, you know, you can certain things you can say, yes, that's a steal or no, that's a bit of a bust. But at the end of the day, if I want a card,
personal opinion, yeah,
I'll pay what I'm happy to pay. If it gets past a certain point of reasonability, then I'll walk away from a deal because apart from the cards I'm now looking for from a Villa perspective, there's lots of them out there. And, you know, whether I get it today, whether I get it next week, or whether I get it in 6 months' time, I'm fairly confident I'll pick one up. So I think as long as you stick to your own, you know, same with everything in life, you know, you walk into a shop and you see a can of pop 50p, and you walk into another one and you see it for £1.50. You don't have to pay the £1.50.
Yeah.
You pay what you think, what you're happy to pay, and for a card that you need at the time.
Yeah. And obviously, moving away then from the negatives, positives. Is there any? Of course there is. I'm missing. Of course there's positives. What are your positives?
So I think we've touched on quite a few. So, yeah. I like the tier system. Yeah. A lot of people don't. I do. I think the prize wheel's been a great addition. I really enjoy that. I really enjoy the fact that that's now opened up cross trades for me again, because they pretty much closed down. So if anyone's listening to this and they've got Star Wars, Slam, The Walking Dead,
UFC, Bond Huddle.
Yeah. I've got tons of cards, tons of coins. Hit me up. You know, I'm fairly reasonable. I've got a fair amount of coins on them all. So for me, the kind of features this season have been really good. Golden Goal's been good. I even enjoyed Best 11. I wish they'd give some sort of prize for that you can redeem in the game.
Yeah.
Would be really good.
Similar to the tier system where you mentioned, you know, you get to tier 4 and you get an avocado or something. Just, you know, get to level 10, get a blue boost, something like that.
Something like that. I mean, I know it's designed to be a different part of it, to part of the game, but you know, if you've got a choice to spend your tickets on Golden Goal, you get coins for, or Prize Wheel, you get cards that you can use in a chase for, and you can collect, or you can play Best 11. I'm never going to play Best 11. I did it for a bit. I enjoyed it, but I'm not going to use my tickets to do that.
Yeah, there's no incentive.
So for me personally, that's a bit redundant, but I know there's a lot of people that enjoy that element of it, and they enjoy that as a kind of mini game. So the features are definite positive for me. I think the card designs this year, I think we've touched on it already, but the card designs this year in the main, the sets designs have been spot on. I think I don't think there's been a set where I've gone, oh, I really don't like that this year.
Do you know what I like about the cards? I found last year and even the year before, at this time of the year, we were looking at 4.5 boosts.
Yeah.
It was getting, like, players were scoring in the thousands, and it was just kind of, it was a bit mind-boggling near the end of the season where you're looking at lads with 5.5 boosts and 5 boosts, and it was just keep it simple. Keep it to, you know, obviously come May, it's going to get to that, but don't, I think last year they just pulled the trigger too quick. This year it's playing right, so it is.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the smaller increments are good. It means that you don't have to go after every single release, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, you haven't got that, oh, I've invested a load of money and I've got 2.5 boosts. 2 weeks later, it's completely waste of time and, you know, waste of effort.
Yeah.
So I do like that. I think they missed the trick on UCL by keeping the gold paywalled. You know, I don't think that's been received very well. But I do also like the fact that on Premier League, there's only certain packs you can get them in. So it helps to preserve their value a little bit. So if you did invest at the beginning, you're getting a bit more longevity out of that investment. So there are elements that are really good and you can see them positively and you can see them negatively. But overall, I think the single biggest thing they've done, and it's probably in the last 4 or 5 weeks, is listened.
Yeah.
And made changes straight away. So Derby GC's great addition. You know, the Derby Chases, great addition. The things that they've done, you know, cleaning up game changers, you know, changing the odd picture where it's viable.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff that they've done to try and address the problems, the giveaways they're doing. Thanks, Tops, I won one. I won a great
plug it in there.
I've got to say thanks for that one, because that was
yeah, it's pretty sweet and fair.
So you know, the fact that they're getting involved, you know, for me, Chari is a great.
I was just going to say, you know as well as I do, if something goes wrong in the chase, message him. It's done. Like the issue is fixed within minutes.
Yeah, it's like tonight, 10 to 8. I got a message from a UCL chaser, a good friend of mine. You know, any chance you can get Bernardo Silva highlights added to the chase.
Yeah.
A minute later, after emailing Cherry, on messaging Cherry, it's in the chase.
Yeah. So that's,
you know, the time, you know, I'm not sure what the time difference is over there. I've done it on 3 p.m. games, which I think is like 10 o'clock over there.
Yeah.
You know, on a Saturday, which is probably his day off or could be his day off. You know, he's very, very quick to help. He takes a lot of flack. And, you know, some of it warranted in a way because we pay for the app to work and we want the app to work and we're all passionate about it.
But I get that. The way but it's delivered. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not right. Exactly. You know, that's exactly what I'm saying.
He's a human being at the end of the day. And, you know, he gets a lot of stick, but he does a lot to help. You know, you don't know. I don't see many producers on apps on Twitter interacting with fans and taking messages and actioning individual requests. So, you know, that for me is a huge positive. And if anybody does need genuine help and does need genuine, you know, things added or you know, that sort of stuff, can't say yes to everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's valid, I'll certainly pass it on. So, you know, for me, yeah, the designs, the features, the fact they're listening, the things they're bringing in, it's all positive for me. I'm still here, still playing, still enjoying it.
Yeah.
Still talking about it. So, yeah, I think it's really good.
Perfect. Look, what we'll do is it's after hitting another 15. We'll go on another small little break. We'll be back in a moment. We'll come into the last part of the podcast. So I'll catch you in a minute there, man, all right?
Yep, catch you soon.
Perfect.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
All right, lads, and welcome back to part 4, the final part of the Tops Kick podcast. It's been a brilliant night, I think. Anyway, I think a bit of banter, a bit of crack. Decent talk with Jay. How do you feel, man?
Yeah, really good. I've got myself another mucky water to see.
Thanks, man.
15 minutes.
Surely you drunk some sugar this time, though.
No sugar, just a little splash of milk. So,
need that sugar.
If I get invited back, I might try all the sugar in just for you.
Perfect. Anytime. Listen, so this is the final bit. We're going to go for another 15, 20 minutes. Big topic. Jay's been around a long time. I've been around a long time. Anything you know now that you wish you knew when you started?
So I suppose the biggest thing to me is, you know, I wish at the beginning I picked a league and kind of gone. I'm gonna start with one league rather than trying to scattergun it, and try and get everything because it's easy to do. You see cars getting released. Oh, I want one of them. I think you know, Tops have put a lot of effort in this year into doing kind of articles, and they did when I started, but I just ignored them. I didn't even do the intro properly. I just wanted to get collecting cards. But,
yeah,
you know, some little tips and hints. You know, there's a massive long article about chasing, what points you get for chasing. You know, depending upon what you want to do, I'd go through and read the articles. Would be my first kind of point. You know, pick a league would be my second. If you're collecting and you don't want to invest, you know, the weekly releases are probably the ones that you're going to get most value out of. You know, the odds are pretty good. The pack prices are pretty decent. You know, if you're clever with them, you know, I talked about this earlier in terms of not liking it, but, you know, supply and demand, as soon as a card's released, that's when it's worth its most.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're fortunate enough to pack one, you know, play the long game, sell it straight away. You know, you don't have to ask for an overpay. There's lots of people advertising. You know, I'll give two previous editors' choice for the latest editor's choice. You know, you be a little bit clever about it. Next week, they'll be offering that one plus another one for the newest one. So,
yeah.
Little things like that, really. You know, read the articles. You know, respect people's collections. You know, don't start sending, please, you've got an awesome collection. Please send me free cards, you know. You know, the likes of myself, the likes of yourself, you know, the T-Bones of the world, you know, the kind of Phil Jones, is that those kind of people, you know, we've put a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of, you know, probably time again on collecting those cards. You know, they've got a value 20 of a card because we want 20 of a card. We've been fortunate, you know. So just a little bit of respect, I suppose. You know, I didn't have it at the beginning. I didn't get it. I sent, like I said, Gary Taylor Fletcher gold that had probably a 30,000 card count for golds that had just been released. I hadn't got a clue. So just take the time, you know, if you take the time, think about it. If it was your collection, it was your own physical collection, what would you do?
Yeah.
From a collector's point of view, definitely. Those are the bits of advice I'd give.
I'd like that you mentioned there, respect people's collection. I get it a couple of times. Like, as a chaser, you have 11 of each card, or you might have a couple. Now, if I have 12 and the offer is decent, or even half decent, I will let it go. And I have let it go to help lads out to try get them. You know, lads chasing, look, you have a couple. If I give you one you need, can you give me three I need? That's a good deal for someone who has, like yourself, who has 11 of most cards, but you might just be missing one of one. And, you know, to kind of overpay that way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to mention the guy's name.
Yeah, obviously.
He's a really nice guy. And, you know, he kind of messaged me. He said, look, I've got some cards that you need. You've got a lot of spare cards from a chasing perspective that you don't necessarily need. Do you mind if I was to send you a few trades that would help you out and help me out? And, you know, the guy is now a top 20 chaser. You know, he started relatively recently. You know, he went about it the right way. He sent me a message. It was a one-to-one. It wasn't a, please, can I have your cards? It was, look, I've got a position for you. I've got a load of these. You need a few of them. If we can work some sort of deal out, that benefits us both. You know, 9 times out of 10, people will respond to that in a positive way.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I actually think I've traded with the very same guy today. The message sounds very, very, very familiar to myself. But if it is, he's a very nice bloke.
He's a really nice guy. You know, and you do get that. There are some really nice people on the app. You know, we've got a very, very, you know, good. I think a good group of lads that we interact with. There's another 4 or 5 groups of lads that I kind of dip in and out of conversations with.
Yeah,
you know, it's very respectful. So just kind of honour that, really. You know, it's, you know, there's no need for the kind of salty nastiness that you do get every now and again.
No, it's great. When you even think of the EPL group or whatever the group is called now. Like, you have, like, now, me and yourself, we play Fortnite every single night together with two other guys. So, like, I speak to T-Bone, you speak to T-Bone. It's an odd kind of, it's a really, really good community when everything goes well. I've met so many, I would class them as friends. I've met so many good friends that I speak to on a daily basis. I think myself and yourself speak on a daily basis. There's 4 or 5 that I speak to on a daily basis as well. Just not even related to kick, but in general stuff. Like, so, you know, if you play your cards right, you're a friend for life.
No, never. 100%. For life? Yeah. No, I 100% agree. I mean, I probably talk to you more than I talk to people I went to school, you know, friends that I've had for, you know, kind of 20, 30 years, or 20, 25 years, that, you know, are really, really close friends, you know. I probably talk to you guys. Well, I definitely talk to you guys more, you know. Like you say, we play Fortnite and stuff together, and, you know, we have crack on a weekend for, you know, chasing and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's a great kind of bunch of lads. It's a great community. It's a going in the right direction. I think if they continue to make the positive changes that they've made, they've got the basis of a really kind of, you know, a springboard or a launch pad, to use a Fortnite terminology, of kind of taking it to the next level again.
Yeah. Look, I think I have two more points to add there that you haven't mentioned, just to the tips for new, would say, just brand new players, put aside the chasers. Brad, like, play goal and goal. I have it down to a T, and I know I've been speaking to lads like Seth and stuff like that. Again, big players who are making 200 to 300K every 2, 3, 4 days, which is crazy when you think of it. Like, if all you're doing is collecting a weekly, like as you said, the weekly goal of the week or your editor's choice, you don't need to put any money into it. Just play goal and goal. You'll make your coins back.
100%.
The second one is, like we've just mentioned, try, if you're on Twitter, reach out. You know, anyone who tweets about Topskick generally either adds Topskick or has hashtag Topskick. like I'm in a couple just to talk, Tops Kick and other stuff. And then I have my DFL chasing one, which I, you know, the lads in there are like, we chase every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Incredible bunch of guys. You know, we're all, you know, we all root for each other. If one is 21st, we try to get him into 20. You know, it's that kind of community and that kind of camaraderie that, you know, it's really good for the community.
No, 100%. 100%.
So that's the only biggest feature, or the we'd say, tips for new players. Anything on a chaser's point of view, or?
Yeah, again, it kind of goes back to the point I mentioned before. So read the article, understand how the game works in terms of what gets you the most points. I'd say for your first chase in particular, just try and get as close to 11 whites as you can. You know, this stage of the season now, you know, I mean, if you came to me and said, look, can I take 9 whites of every EPL card? It wouldn't worry me, you know, take them. Whites, you know, will help you get started, will help you learn the ropes. You know, I've probably got 100 plus of each white card. So, you know, feel free to hit me up and, you know, I'll help you get started. But it's, you know, try and get 11 of each base card.
Yeah.
You know, try a chase. Don't try and chase everything. So the three biggest points, or kind of probably, yeah, three biggest point scorers that you can do is chase fouls, saves and goals. So if a foul goes in and you're watching a game, stick it in. If a save goes in, great. There's a great point scorer there, 25 points every time a save goes in. And then obviously goals is 100 points. And if you haven't got the goal scorer, go for the assist because you get half the points for the assist. So that for me would be the single biggest thing is, you know, don't try and chase everything.
Yeah.
You know, you can easily get lost trying to chase stuff. You know, stuff might not go in as you'd expect it to go in. You know, you get a little bit
together, stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah. Just chase the big bits, and then as you get more comfortable with it, as you get a better understanding of it, you'll work out for yourself what's worth putting in for you. I don't chase everything, but I know there's some guys out there that chase every single kind of third pass. But that's kind of like advanced level chasing. But to start with, just focus on those three. You know, goals and assists, saves and fouls.
Just on the goals, when you mentioned get 11 of white base, if you happen to pick up a goal, we'd say a goal of a player who's just assisted, but you only have a white of a player who scored, stick in the goal because obviously the higher boost will get you the more points.
So in that example, I mean, a goal will get you the same as the goal. So a gold assist will get you the same as obviously the goal points from a white card. So yeah, I mean, if you've got some better boosts of the assist, then kind of stick those in. But yeah, just to get started, just try and get your white base nailed. Sacrifice some of your 1.5 bronzes and your silvers and get yourself sorted.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, these weekly, the likes of your highlights, a baseless highlights release, chasers are mad to get 11 of each. If just be smart about it. You know you're not going to get all four because you're going to know yourself whether you have the coins to get it and whether the award card is what you want. Pack a baseless, downgrade it for a couple of base that you need. You know, as Jay said, at this time of the season, people are just going to be throwing away a base. Some lads will just be throwing away a white base at the end.
100%. I mean, and you know, when you're first starting out, don't get caught up too much on baseless kind of highlights and stuff like that. You use them to get yourself established and get yourself in, because to be honest, unless you're going to commit and get 11 of them, unless it's a goalkeeper, you know, goalkeeper baseless, you know, are a different commodity altogether. But you know, if it's a baseless, let's say Andy King for Swansea that's come out this week, you know, the likelihood is he's not going to score again this season, potentially, in terms of not score points, but he's not going to score a goal again this season. Or if he does, you know, apologies to Andy King, you're a good player, you know, go and get a hatful because I'm going to get 11. But, you know, you don't need to worry too much about that because it's a 1.5 boost. You know, if you've got a gold of the person that assists, you're going to almost get the same amount of points as he's going to get for the goal anyway. So, you know, don't get too hung up on baseless. If you can pick them up, brilliant. If you can't, concentrate on getting your base sorted and then move on to baseless as a secondary piece.
Perfect. Just while we're on chasing, just something I find, like, when I'm chasing I'm just, it's a question from me to you. I don't think I've asked you. Do you ever rewatch the games?
I don't rewatch the full game.
Yeah.
But let's say, I'm very fortunate, and you know, I don't take gold GCs for granted. You know, I know, and the slog that goes into it. But I'm quite fortunate on a Sunday, I don't have to chase everything, so I can enjoy the games a little bit more.
Yeah.
But like the first game on a Saturday, I couldn't tell you half the things that happened in that game because my head's up and down. I'm watching it, I'm putting it in, So I'll generally watch that game, if it was decent, on Match of the Day or, you know, Sky First Choice or whatever the platform might be.
Yeah.
I generally kind of watch them and I kind of look back
replay
and
replay it in your head. Like,
that's where the points came from. Or when the 3 PM games are on and someone else is covering a game for you, and you think, oh, bloody hell, that save.
Yeah.
That save got me from 8th to 5th or something. So. Yeah. I do that quite often, to be honest.
That was my question. Do you rewatch it and go, oh, yeah, that's how I got the 1,000 points, right? Okay, I'm moving on now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I think that's it then for tips. What we might finish up with is just I'll take the DFL, you take the EPL. We'll take 5 players that we think you should try pick up before the weekend's games, just purely based on who they're playing against and their recent run of form and stuff like that. And I might throw Jay 1 or 2 extra questions just to see how he's feeling. So what I'll do is I'll start first because obviously minor league DFL, will leave you finish off with the EPL. The 5 players I pick up are Tommy, Stuttgart player. He has a Carnival 2.5 boost, I believe. If you're looking for that top 50, top 20 place, Tommy's a good player to pick up. He's coming into a decent run of form as well. Mario Gomez has a recent base just released. I believe he was the recent mint, and he's a couple of highlights. Pick him up because he's going to score goals. Florian Muller was the Mineskeeper last week, the fourth choice Mineskeeper, I believe. I think Combi was telling me in the DFL chat he's the fourth choice, but like he player of the week, his points were astronomical looking at the amount of saves and catches he made. He had a player of the week and he also has a highlight. I'd recommend picking him up. Lucas Alario, the Bayer Leverkusen Argentinian striker, again, couple of cards, couple of highlights, pick him up because he just seems to be scoring goals for fun. And basically any Bayern Munich player who you think may start because they're playing against Hamburg, who are diabolical. Your Thomas Muller, your Sandro Wagner, Lewandowski, anyone who's going to score really, because they are going to score. That's 5 I'd pick up. Who would you recommend EPL, Jay?
So for me, again, probably a little bit of top tip here. Obviously, anyone that gets on the ball a lot. So Gundogan last week, most touches in an EPL game ever.
Against Chelsea, though.
Against Chelsea. So forget the Chelsea performance because that's a whole other podcast. But, people that touch the ball a lot. So your Kevin De Bruyne's, your Gundogan's, your kind of Fernandinho's. Those types of players are always going to be really good to pick up. But they're normally in quite high demand, and people value those cards quite a lot. So what I would suggest is, you know, of the top 6 teams, a lot of them like to play the ball around the back. They like to build from the back. So your defenders score a lot of points. So if you're looking for flow at a knockdown price, or certainly not at the kind of same level as a kind of midfield maestro, people like Otamendi, Vertonghen, they touch the ball a lot. They pass the ball a lot around the back. They do the long balls. They've got a lot of heady clearances that score a decent amount of points. You kind of Ben Davises, you Kyle Walkers, those kind of players that put a lot of crosses in. Moses is a really good example. He's baseless, but he's got more cards than base cards. People that have got base cards, you know, he's in Team of the Week pretty much every week, apart from last week. For me, players like that are really useful.
Just waiting for you to mention some United players there.
I'm talking to United players, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, you've got the likes of Pogba that touches the ball a hell of a lot. You've got the likes of Valencia, who's a really good point scorer.
Yeah.
He's got quite a lot of cards. He's got full base. He's got Avocado. He's got contests from 2.2 all the way up to 2.9. So you've got quite a few players there that you could certainly pick up. But I mean, you'll know, people will know players in their own clubs that they'll watch the games, they'll know they touch the ball. I mean, like Harry Kane scores a goal every game, yeah. pretty much. Salah scores a goal every game.
Like before the weekend, I'm sure even, so say, this is more of a question towards you as well. A goal goes in, points are in, and you're going back to your flow. Like, I know in my head, and I'm sure this is my question, do you know in your head, like, okay, I'm just going to put in the same 11 as I've had in since the first whistle? Like, I nearly know what 11 I'm going to leave in for flow on the Thursday night before the Friday games, kind of thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, as soon as the lineup's announced, I'll go, right, I know what point I'm in. And, you know, I don't always put my highest boosted cards in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I filter it by boost, clearly, so if a goals goes in, I've got my highest boosted cards at the top.
Yeah.
But, you know, the likes of that I mentioned, if I was looking for Ben Davis and I was scrolling down boost, you know, he's quite far down. So I'll know certain players beforehand that are going to score me good points. You know, another good tip is look at the backs of the cards. It's got the points they've scored every single game.
Yeah.
So scroll back through and see where you can see consistent peaks. You know, you can do that on white base cards and you can obviously multiply it up from there. So, you know, there's lots of kind of little things that you can do, you know, if you want to invest the time to kind of understand who scores and how they score.
Yeah.
That you can work out a pretty decent lineup, you know, with a low boosted card that's going to kind of maximise it. You know, that's just proven this week in the Derby GC.
Yeah.
You know, if you'd have had a full lineup to Kyle Walker's, you quite possibly wouldn't have had to make any changes apart from the goals, and you probably would have got top 20.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, invest a little bit of time if you genuinely want to chase and you want to progress. Invest a little bit of time looking at the cards, understanding the players that touch the ball a lot. Have a look at some of the key baseless that have got a lot of releases that are relatively easy to pick up and work your way from there.
Yeah. Just another one for yourself. Game changer design is always something that's always up for debate, like the actual design of the card as an overall for every season. What, if you had to pick one, like say if Topps put it out there, okay, Topps kick 19, gone back to the fans, choose one out over the last 3 years, which one are you choosing?
That's an easy one for me. So for me, the best year for game changers was the second half of 14-15. So where they went from looking exactly the same as a gold base card or a silver base card.
Yeah.
To when they went to the kind of small edging around the card.
Right, okay.
That for me is the best design GC. You get full view picture.
Yeah.
You get very similar to this year, yeah, I might add. So
this year is a nice one.
This year would be kind of second for me. But the full kind of card is taken up by the image of the player. It allows you to do a lot more than the kind of half moon ones or the ones where the writing's across the bottom and the top. You know, for me, the likes of the Benteke card, the Cazorla cards, I mean, the Aguero one again is a beautiful nice card from that year. You know, and I know they're from 13-14, so there's less accounts, so they're worth more. But for me, if I was going to invest in cards and I was gonna get game changers, that, you know, and that design was last year, I'd be going for those design cards, definitely.
Speaking of the full player picture, just reminded me, do you remember the goal of the week where it was the full, it was a really nice looking card. I can't remember what year it was. It wasn't last year, but it wasn't the year before. It was the year before that. It was a 15-16.
Yes. Yeah, no, I think I know what I think I know what card you're going to mention here.
Charlie Adam.
The Coutinho black kit one.
Yeah, the Coutinho, yeah, I mentioned this here before, where I was paid a silver game changer each the year they transitioned from that card into I can't remember what the transition is, but there was a Coutinho and a black kit taking a free kick and a Benteke. Yeah, so that kind of broke my heart and still does to this day. I'm still not over, but look. Yeah, and then it turned out that Charlie Adam was the award card, so.
Yeah.
All's ended at Wednesday, so it's kind of.
No great loss there.
Exactly. So that's basically concluding the whole Topps kick side of it. I would just like to know one thing. I was thinking about it today in work. I was having a bit of a debate with a couple of people and they couldn't really back it up. Now, they're football fans, but they're not. They're in between. they love a World Cup, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Every 4 years they come out and they know every world-class player in the world. And they played Football Manager 4 back in 2001 or whatever.
Yeah, they still think Karol Poborski is a quality player, right?
Freddy Adu is the next world beater. But, Premier League's nearly over. A lot of football being played. Who do you think brings home the player of the year? Kevin De Bruyne or Mo Salah?
Oh, that's a difficult question. Me personally, I can't see past Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, my choice as well.
So for me, he's you know, he's very, very fortunate to be playing alongside David Silva.
Yeah.
But I think the guy's got potential.
Fernandinho does a lot of work for him as well, I'd say. Yeah. Like, he's possibly the most underrated player in that league.
Absolutely. He gets through a lot of the kind of donkey work. He gets through a lot of the ugly side of the game that people don't really value when you're looking at it from aesthetically. But for me, I think Kevin De Bruyne, I think he's going to be one hell of a player. I think Belgium are my favourites for the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's Kevin De Bruyne. You know,
but
over the season.
If you look up the stats, like when you think of Mo Salah, he's playing right midfielder, right wing, and he has 30 goals.
Yeah,
which is crazy as well. Like when you
can't take that away from him.
Another one I would throw into the mix, but he's never going to get thrown into the mix. And I can't believe I had to look it up because I didn't believe it. He's never actually won the Player of the Year. Is Sergio Aguero? You know, I think he missed a lot of this season through injury. He still has racked up 30 goals. Like people say, Harry Kane has X amount of goals and he scores goals every other game. But Aguero, if you were to look at Aguero's goals to minute ratio, Aguero trumps Kane. Like, if I was picking a fantasy football team, I would obviously, I'd go back to Mo Salah and Kevin De Bruyne. I would have De Bruyne in over Mo Salah, but I'd also have Aguero over Harry Kane.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, my cards are the voting for me. I've got 10 on form Agueros and 1 on form Kane.
Yeah.
You know, there's no disrespect to Kane at all. You know, I hope he carries us to a decent World Cup performance and he is a quality player. But I think you're kind of, they're in the same league, but Aguero for me is at the top of that league. Yeah, and Kane's kind of mid of that league.
He's a cold killer, Aguero. That's the new way. And I'm a United fan, but he's just different level.
He makes any team he goes to better.
Yes, it's crazy. Like, next question then. You mentioned the World Cup. Give me England's starting 11 for the first game. Would you be a form man? Like, would you say, right, okay, these players are in form, they're going on the plane? Or would you be, okay, he's done it before in an England shirt, he gets the nod?
For me, it's you have to have the balance of experience and form.
Yeah.
But form for me would trump experience because, you know, in any walk of life, you only get experience from doing the do.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you only ever stuck with the guys that had kind of seen you right or not seen you right in England's case, then you would, you know, you'd never have, you know, the Ryan Sessegnons of this world that's coming through at Fulham. You'd never have.
It's kind of like applying for a job, like where requires 2 years experience and you're just out of school and you're kind of like, where do I get this experience from?
where do I get this experience you're talking of, you know? So for me, I would always err on the side of kind of form than necessarily the experience, but I do understand the value of experience.
Yeah, of course. So, right, keeper then, who's the goal?
I would, you know, it's going to be controversial. I'd go Pope.
Yeah, he's had a solid season.
I think, you know, he's done absolutely nothing wrong. He's come in unexpectedly. Tom Eaton picked up an injury. I haven't seen him have a bad game.
Yeah.
The guy scores massive amounts of points for me. He plays for, you know, Burnley. They're overachieving. He's played a key role in that for me. So, you know, we're blessed with some decent keepers. You know, Pickford, good keeper. Butland, you know, got a mistake in him, but good keeper.
The only thing with England's keepers, they're all very young.
All very young. And, you know, I think playing for England brings it, you know, you can't, for me, because of the pressure that goes on them, because of the media scrutiny,
yeah.
I do feel that any England team that goes out is going out with a, with the ball and chain around their neck. Yeah. You know, they you can see they're playing restricted. But I think you let the younger lads out there and you let them loose and you give them an opportunity, they're probably less likely to care about that and more likely to kind of to show you something. So for me, I'd go with Nick Pope. He would be, you know, if he did well in some friendlies, he would be my starting keeper. I think he's a class act.
Just when you mentioned the pressure of the English media, like I was reading something there earlier that, you know, you look at a lot of players going foreign. Like Reece Oxford's playing with Mönchengladbach. Lookman is playing with Leipzig. They were actually talking about this young kid. I've never heard of him now. Apparently he played for Arsenal. He made a Europa League. He played in the Europa League game last year, early this season. But he's actually with Barcelona now. He's the first Englishman since Gary Lineker. Yeah, you know, so I think a lot of those kids are making the right decision to get out of the spotlight and get out of the because a lot of what England do, and like, they're really guilty of it, they're always the next big player. It can kill it. Like, I think Rashford, I think he shot himself in the foot in a way in doing what he's doing so young. But look, if you're good enough to play, you're old enough to play. That's the way it is.
I completely agree.
Back four.
So I would go for I can't see Pascal Walker.
Yeah, number one. Yeah,
at right back. Yeah. So I think, you know, some decent understudies and Trippier, etc. But for me, the sheer pace, the consistency of delivery, the work rate. I know he's not the greatest defender, but for me, it would be Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
I think centre back wise, I'm going to upset you by not mentioning too many Man United players in this lineup.
They don't deserve to be mentioned.
Not at the moment. I would love to see John Stones playing. I think, you know, the composure on the ball. He's a bit of an infallible character. I know he makes mistakes. I know he overplays sometimes. And
but sort of Rio.
He's got the brave. He's got the. He's brave enough to continue playing that way.
Yeah.
And it's the right way to play football. You know, I always remember the 1998 World Cup match against Argentina. Not for the Michael Owen goal, but for Rio Ferdinand stepping out of defence, you know, all the way up to the edge of the edge. Sol Campbell, stepping out of defence all the way up to the, you know, the opposition's box, you know, carrying the ball forward. I like that in a defender.
Yeah.
I think Harry Maguire is worth a shout.
Yeah.
I like the guy. You know, he looks like Herman Monster, but he's a good player. I think Alfie Mawson potentially deserves a crack at it.
Yeah.
You know, the challenge you're going to have with all these players is getting them experience and getting them some game time. You know, the friendlies that we have before the World Cup, for me, let them loose. Let them go. Let them have a crack.
Yeah. You go with a midfield three then or midfield four?
I think I'd go with a three, but we forgot about the left back.
Oh, sorry.
So yeah. I'd go, at the moment, on form, Bertrand.
Yeah.
But obviously, you can't forget about Danny Rose because I think, you know, he's had a bit of a different season at Tottenham.
It's that experience kind of over form thing, isn't it? It's like,
in a way. But I think, you know, Ben Davies is having a phenomenal season at Tottenham. You know, he was Danny Rose's understudy for a while. Danny Rose fell out, got injured. You know, did whatever he did. Said he wanted to go to a bigger club. You know, was a bit too vocal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I think you should. I think you should be a little bit more humble when you're earning 80 grand a week. And for me, you know, it's between those two at the moment. I'd give it Bertrand because he's playing every week.
Right.
And he's performing particularly, you know, decent every week. So yeah, that's your go for.
Okay. Midfield three.
Midfield three. So, I like Dyer, Wilshere and Ali as my kind of midfield three. I think they can all rotate a little bit. Obviously, Dele Alli is more effective further forward.
Yeah.
But I think all three of them, to an extent, can kind of...
Adam Lallana's worth a shout as well.
Quite well. If he can get back on form...
You know, he has legs and he has a bit of guile about him. He's, you know, he's a worker.
He's a worker, but I see him more of a... I see him as a good substitution to come on.
Yeah.
You know, he has got that ability to change a game, but he's also got the work ethic to... kind of pick up the pace very quickly. So for me, that would be my kind of starting three.
Okay.
I know Wilshere divides opinion.
I think he's a great player. Yeah, he's, you know, when you look back over Arsenal over the last 4 or 5 years and you think of who, like their best midfielder. People would say Ramsey. I would pip Wilshere over Ramsey. He just has that bit more imagination. Like, you remember back when Arsenal played Barcelona and he was only a kid, like, and he bossed the midfield against Xavi and Iniesta and Busquets. Like, he was immense. Like, it was the best English performance I had seen since, like, Rooney in the early days. It was unbelievable. Like, obviously, injuries, you know, it's a horrible thing to happen to such a good player and a young player, but, you know, that's just life and that's the way it goes on. But so the front three you're going with?
So for me, I think at the moment, I think, you know, you'd be very remiss to not have Kane and Sterling.
Anyway, yeah.
I think that they're nailed on, you know, unless one of them gets injured, hopefully not. Which is a great thing for Sterling because, you know, he had a lot of stick for the move from Liverpool to Man City. You know, he didn't handle himself in the greatest way at that time, but I like him and I think Pep's been really good for him.
Yeah.
On the left, I think you've got a toss-up at the moment, as much as it pains me to say this, between Lingard and Rashford.
Yeah, Lingard's a bit of a shout.
Lingard, I've never really rated him as a Man United-level player. However, I have to say he comes up with a goal when it's needed. It's always normally in a big game and it's always normally a screamer.
Yeah.
He does score the odd kind of tap-in, but... You know, they're always, you know, nice goals when Lingard's involved. But I think if I was a defender, I would rather see Lingard than Rashford.
Yeah.
So for me, if I was kind of putting my name to it at the minute, I'd say Rashford.
Okay. All right. One final question before we wrap up. Everyone just loves this debate. Messi or Ronaldo?
For me, Messi.
What?
Messi.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
If I'm playing FIFA Ronaldo in real life, it's got to be Messi for me.
Right. Look, we'll wrap it up there. It's been a brilliant episode. I think, anyways, you know, it's been very enjoyable. I've appeared on a lot of podcasts. I've never actually hosted one for say, but it's been more than enjoyable to listen to some of the tips and hints there. I'm sure people will take a long way. It's really good having you here.
No, I'm really pleased to be here, mate, and thank you for getting me involved, especially on the first one.
Perfect. As I've said to you privately as well, you're more than welcome to join every week or whenever you're about, even as a kind of a co. You know, we'll get other people on. You're more than welcome anytime.
Mate, appreciate that. Anytime you want me, I'm always available.
Perfect.
No problem.
100%.
Cheers.
No worries. That's been the Tops Kick podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Link will be in the description. I'll tweet out everything. Hoping to get it on iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor is the main usage one. But what I'll do is, if you ever want to come on as a guest, or even just like not even to the extent that Jay did for the hour or the hour and a half, if you want to come on for 15 minutes, just send me a DM. Similar, Jay, your Twitter is at JJ3344, is it?
So my actual Twitter is at JMan1983.
Perfect.
But if you search JJ3344, you'll find me.
That's no worries.
Obviously, that's my top handle as well. So yeah,
I was just going to mention, you know, you did mention earlier, if anyone needs any white base or anything, any new players that need new white base, or just to click the 11 of one player just so you have enough keepers or enough goal scorers, you know, hit them up with a trade. I'm sure, you know, you'll be able to work something out. So that's it, guys. Thanks very much for listening.
Take care.
Thank you.
Cheers.